Okay, we're starting the next category of mukza known as mukza mechamat chesron kis. It's one of the most stringent categories of mukza. Last week, those of us who were here, or if you heard the recording, so we discussed that there's a category of mukza, one we don't even realize. It's known as a kli shemlachto leheter, things like a pillow. Doesn't do any esser, so you're allowed to use it. Just to use it, you're allowed to move it if you want its place, and you're allowed to move it if you want to protect it so it doesn't get ruined. If it's going to get taken, stolen, if it's going to get ruined by the sun, if it's going to get wet, you could just move it. So what did we leave out? So there's an idea that we don't just handle things extra, even things that are mutter, but not included in that is any food and any svara, any sifrei kodesh. You can learn, you can just handle them. You can hold on to an apple all Shabbos long. They're not even included in any gzeira. But then last week, the main topic was a kli shemlachto le'iser. That's any item whose main purpose is to perform a malacha. That's if it performs the malacha or the malacha was performed with it. For example, a hammer. A hammer is used to build. You use it to bang a nail into a wall or something. So, a hammer is a kli shemlachto le'iser. You're allowed to use the hammer to crack open a nut. That means you're using a hammer for what it normally does, which is to bang things. Okay? Normally, it performs an iser of a nail. We're allowed to use it for permissible purpose of opening a nut on Shabbos. Litzarech makomo, you're allowed to move it as well, because you can, if it's sitting on your table and you want to set your Shabbos table, so you can move the hammer to set your Shabbos table. But what you're not allowed to do is move the hammer so that nothing happens to it for the sake of the hammer. So if you're afraid somebody's going to take the hammer, somebody's going to break the hammer is in a spot where it's going to get ruined by the sun or the rain, so you are not allowed to move the hammer. Last week we discussed if there's loopholes and using a non-Jew. That was last week's topic. This week's topic is going to be building on that. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch starts with this week's topic, but most of the Shulchan Moktzah Svarim don't start with this topic because it actually builds on last week's topic of Kli Shemlachto Le'iser. Because one of the criteria we're going to see is that in order to be Moktzah Mechamat Chesron Kis, it probably, though there are some exceptions, it probably begins with, it's a kli shemlachto le'iser, which is also going to something that you're makpid on. And that's what we're going to discuss right now. So let's look at the first source. The source is that we have to understand that there is a machloket throughout Masechet Shabbat about muktzah. It's machloket Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. It appears many, many, many times. And the Gemara tells us that there's an exception to that machloket between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. So let's see what this Mishnah says. Rabbi Yossi Omer, kol ha-kelim nitalim. You can handle all kelim. Chutz min ha-masar ha-gadol, a big saw, v'yatei shel machresha, and a stake, or the piece that's used to plow. So what do we need to know? So Rashi tells us about the Yatei Shel Machresha, source 2, who kli gadol hasoy kisakin, it's a big device made like a knife. Shebo'asun charit shel telem amana, that's how it makes the groove in the ground. It gives you the word in French, cultural velaz. The hanach kapir alayu, you are careful, you are makbid to not use it for anything but that. Umiyachid lahem makom, and you put it in a special spot, it can't be used for any other malacha. Now, that doesn't mean it can't. You wouldn't use it for any other purpose. Okay? The most common example of what people refer to as muktzah machmat chesron kis is a knife used for shechita or mila. So the butcher has to have a perfect knife that has no nicks in it. So he wouldn't let you, hey, can I borrow that knife to used for some other purpose, to cut a tree, to cut whatever else, he's not going to let you use it because he needs this knife in perfect working order. He's very careful about it. So Rashi says that these tools that Rabbi Yossi mentioned in the Mishnah are ones that you wouldn't use for any other purpose. The discussions that we're going to have in these poskim on the rest of the sheet are Rashi sort of has three, lists three criteria, it seems. One, the hanaf kapitala, you're makbi not to use it. Two, miyachlem makom, lo chazum melacha acheret. It's not for any other melacha. So, are all of these what makes it, and if it's missing some of these, is it not a muktzamach mechesrom kis? Or is only one of them the real criterion and the other one is just a sign that it's true? And we'll see in the various examples how that comes into play. There's a, before we get to the Tosos on this Amud, there's a quick line of a Gemara later in Shabbos that we should see. So source 3 of a muktzamach mechesrom kis. Afilu Rabbi Shimon Moda, even though Rabbi Shimon might not hold of Mukta, he agrees in the case of an item that's Mukta, Machmat Chisron Kis, it's not in Kol HaKilim, Nitalim HaShavet, Chotz Mimasar Gadol V'Yatid Shemach Risha. That Mishnah that we quoted, source 1, Rabbi Yossi Shita, seems to be Muskam. Everybody agrees that these items are Mukta and can't be handled on Shabbos. The Mishnah doesn't say Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Okay, Rabbi Yossi's statement is accepted. Now look at Tosafot source 4, discussing another item in the Gemara, a certain knife that is used. So Pirish B'Kunchus, a butcher's knife. Sakin she'akatzavim et katzim ba'basar. V'yesh mefarzim sakin she'shochtim ba. Why? She'makvid she'lo tibagim, because he's very careful that it shouldn't get any nicks, it shouldn't get ruined. V'yesh lizaher she'lo letaltalo, you cannot move it. Afilu litzorach gufo, the havik yatechon machresha, da afilu Rabbi Shimon Moda. So we see here, this is our background, mukza machman chisron kis is totally agreed upon that you have to be careful about it. So what's included? So let's start with Shulchan Aruch, Shinchet Aleph, this is his first halacha when he discusses mitzvah, mukza.
What if the chisron kis doesn't come from the moving? There's lots of chesron kis, but just touching a car is not necessary.
If you touch a car, you're going to move it? There's no issue to touch anything that you're not going to move. Okay. That's a general rule about mukta. That was the first week. Okay, that was in the introduction. What?
Car is not mukta.
Car is mukta for you to lift it and move it. Is that going to be a problem? Can you lean on a car? Presumably, it wouldn't violate. Okay. Fine. So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Kol hakelim nitalim b'shabbat chutz me'mukta machmat chisron kis, kegon sakin shel shechita or shel mila, v'izemel shel safarim. That's some kind of barber tool." There's a special knife that a sofer uses to fix the quill. Here's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Kevan shemakpidim shelo lasot behem tashmish acher. There are items that you wouldn't just use for any other purpose. When we discussed the Kli Shemalachta Le'isr last week, we said, so you can decide to use it as a paperweight. You can decide to use it to prop open your door. That's considered the tzorach gufo. You're using the item for some sort of permitted purpose, even though its main purpose is for iser. That's allowed when it comes to kli shemalachta le'iser. But when it comes to mokta machmat chisron kis, something you wouldn't use for such a thing, he would never ever let you borrow his butcher's knife to use as a paperweight. So therefore, it becomes mokta machmat chisron kis. It cannot be handled at all. Also, letatlo b'shavad v'afilu letzorach mekomo letzorach gufo, even to just move it because it's in the way of something, or to just use it letzorach gufo just for some other purpose, whether it's to cut something, meaning even for a mutter purpose, you can't use this item. Rama says even chulin, even if it's mixed in with other items, you can't handle it. Okay, and then the Machaber continues, but in the Kodesh of Samim, Shemachpidim alav shalikolach lech, a certain kind, type of hammer that they use, I guess, on spices, and the Rama throws in, v'hu adin kelim hamyuchadim l'schoro o'makid aleim. Merchandise. Anything that you designate for sale, you're going to be careful to not ruin, or you won't be able to sell it. And therefore, that is Mokta Machma Chisron Kis. There's a discussion about food designated for sale, because you might decide, hey, I want to sell these bottles of wine, and then if you run out of wine in Shabbos, you might take one, so it could be food is different. But if you have clothing, certainly, that's designated for sale. You're not going to wear it, because then you won't be able to sell it if you stretch it, ruin it, get it dirty. So therefore, you're not allowed to handle them on Shabbos. Yes?
Because we spoke about the Nutcracker last week. That would fall into this category.
That would not fall into a Mokta Machmak Tesron Kish. That would fall in... Wait, a Nutcracker is Klishim Lachta Leheter. You're allowed to crack nuts on Shabbos. The hammer
right.
is a Klishim Lachta Leiser.
Yeah,
okay. Now, I've seen people pry out like windows that won't stay up. So they stick a hammer in and it stays up. That means it has a heter purpose, and I've seen people crack nuts with a hammer. You're allowed to use those things, and since a person's willing to do that with his hammer, the hammer is thereby not Mokta Machma Chisron Kis, because you're clearly not makbid to only bang a nail. This is a hammer specifically for banging nails, never for anything else. No, people aren't like that. They're willing to use the hammer for whatever purpose comes up. Yeah?
So is this an objective?
Yeah,
no, that's what we're going to discuss. That's a great question, though. That's one of the things we're going to discuss right now. Okay, it's a great question. Is it objective or subjective?
For
Chesron Kiss. Okay.
And the other categories, those are other.
So far, yeah.
Okay. Well, the hammer seems to be, could be seen as a subjective.
No, a hammer is definitely, its primary use is a Klish Machto Le'Isser. But you can decide to use it for...
I know, but let's say I'm a person who has a hammer and set aside only for... banging nails, it seems to then fit into.
But if it's the same hammer as everybody else's, then it's...
So,
only if you bought some kind of special hammer, used, you know, fine hammer that's used to bang gold or something,
right.
So then you would tell me, this is a special hammer, I don't want to get ruined. And then we can discuss that. But a regular hammer, even if you only use it for nails, it's still a regular hammer. Okay. Discussing the words Chisron Kis, Mishnah Berurah says... So what it is that you have in mind that you are not going to be using them on Shabbos. Because if I asked you about this item, what can you do with it? So a regular item, such as the hammer, you might say, hey, if I asked you on Friday, what are the odds that you would use this hammer on Shabbos? You would say, well, I'm definitely not going to use it to bang in a nail on Shabbos because that's usher. But you know what? I don't know. If I'm stuck without a nutcracker, I'll use it to open a nut. But if I asked you, hey, this shechita knife, what are the odds you're going to be using that tomorrow? You're going to be like, no way. I can't do shechita tomorrow, and I'm not going to use it on anything else. So you were makzo tami daito. You have in mind this item, the word mukza, set aside. This item is set aside to not be used on Shabbos in any form. Okay? One point I want to discuss that I'm very quick is just two sources here to show you that according to some, Mokta Machma Chisron Kis is related to price. But it is not in the definition of the Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah as we saw. So, but just to see if it's... if it's expensive, then it could be some kind of sign that it should be Mokta Machma Chisron Kis. One is the Rambam, who says, Kol kli shemakbid alav shema yivchatu damav, kigon kelim ha-muktzim l'schora, v'kelim ha-yikarim biyoter, shemakbid alayim shema yivsadu, asur l'tatlan. Any kli that you're worried it's going to go down in value, for example, if it's merchandise, or if it's very expensive and you're worried it's going to get ruined, you can't handle on Shabbos. Zanu nikra mukta machmat chesron kis, and he gives the examples of our Mishnah and Gemara. And the Magen Avram also has a lashon shebechol davar shedamav yikarim aser v'davar she'ein damav yikarim And nothing on the oats are aser. Also, if you set it aside to be stored, in other words, you're also not going to have in mind to use it over Shabbos, that would similarly be aser. So let's understand. There are two criteria for an item to be muktzah machmir chisron kis. It's a kli shemalach le'iser that you wouldn't use for other purposes. Okay? Those are the two criteria. Potentially, according to some, there's another criterion that if it's expensive. The Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Brura don't mention that. Why would that be? Let's actually skip a source for a second. We'll go back to it. The top source in the second column, the Igron Moshe, discusses those tnayim we mentioned in Rashi. Right? Rashi said, Ahana kabudalayu, yachila makom, delo chazu, l'malacha acheret. Igros Moshe, Ramosha Feinstein was asked, when it comes to muktzah machmir chisron kis, had the matzinum dim yachlu makom. Rashi says, "In by inan dafka yichud makom be muktzah machmir chisron kis o delo." Do you really need? Is that a condition? And if you're not, if it doesn't have a specific face, it's not muktzah machmir chisron kis, or not? So tshuva lo by inan yichud makom. You don't need yichud makom, even if you're makbid to not use it, but it doesn't have a specific spot in your wall, closet, home, where it stays and doesn't get moved from, but still you only use it for its designated purpose, it's still muktzah machmir chisron kis. You know the difference between siman and siba? Siman is a symptom, meaning it's a sign that the cause, the siba, exists. So the siba is that you're makbid to not use it on anything else. A simon that could be true would be that it has a specific spot. But it doesn't need a specific spot in order to be muktzah machmir chisron kis. There's a great proof. And he says, and just having a specific spot doesn't make it muktzah machmir chisron kis. Then can you kol smar tuch yichdelo makom muktzah? Any rag would be muktzah. There are people who have a rag drawer. Okay? That doesn't make rags all muktzah machmir chisron kis. That would be absurd. People use rags for dozens and random crazy purposes. So, therefore, it's not a criteria. It could be a sign something else is going on, but it's not a criteria. So, we see that definitely kli shemalach le'iser, not used for other purposes. Possibly expensive, though possibly not, because expensive could be a sign that it's muktzah machmir chisron kis, much like having a designated spot could be a sign that it is. But it's not a criteria, criterion per se.
How do you explain Rashi's lashon on that where he sort of seems to quite
consider? So the way I read Rashi is like this. The Hanach Kapir La'olayu, since these you're makbiran. How do I know you're makbiran? Yachil makom to lochazum lacha acheret. Okay? That's how they have to read it. You're not the only one who struggled with that lashon. Many, many achronim, some rishonim, struggled with that lashon of Rashi. Okay. Rabbi Akiva Eger, in that source we skipped, says that he quotes a person named, a sefer called the Nazirut Shimshon, who says you can move this item, even though it's muktzah machmir chisron kis, you can move it letzorich mekoma. When Azir of Shimshon, towards the end of that source, ta'an the letzorich mekoma lishtrei the ein bazeh chisron kis. By moving it, you wouldn't be, you're not worried about it getting ruined. You're careful to not use this item for anything else. But if it's in your way, you'll move it carefully. So, but if we read the Rabbi Akiva Eger, he says, you can't move it with Tzorach Makomo, because he holds anything you can't move with Tzorach Kupo also can't be moved with Tzorach Makomo. If you can't use it for its purpose, you also can't move it to get to its place. He holds the two go hand in hand. But the point is that we can see that having a special place for it, again, wouldn't be a criteria, would just be a sign. Now, let's discuss some rules, okay, or some more details. Now we're back in the second column, the second source of the second column. The Shulchan Aruch says, Kol kli, afilu hu gadol v'kaved harbe, lo nitbatel shem kli mimenu, lo mipnei kod lo, v'lo mipnei kovdo. Even if it's a very, very large item, it doesn't matter, it's still a kli. So what are we concerned about? So let's look in the Mishnah Berurah on this. Afilu hu gadol v'kaved harbe, says the Mishnah Berurah, Huadin even gedola v'korah gedola, very large rock or beam. Emiyesh torat kli aleh, d'ahinu shem yachnedim l'tashmish, shari l'tatlan. You can move even a very heavy item. It has nothing to do with how heavy, this isn't yet Mukta Machon Chesron Kedush, so he's going to get to that. But he's just discussing the concept of a kli, whether it's muksa. So he says, even a very large item doesn't become usur to move. Of a kli, mutter afilu eino ragil latatala v'yimotachol. You're allowed to move it, even if you tend to not move it during the week. Mikomakom lo amrinan divipnei kavdutau kovel amakom umakzeo to midata milatatala. If you have some sort of table, closet, you're not going to regularly move it. That doesn't make it mukza machman chisrun kis, or forbidden to move just because it generally has a spot where you don't move it from. Yachin lamakom, that closet's always been there. No, it doesn't make it a problem. But nire, here's where Moksamachma Chisron Kiz comes from. De imbiyam motachol, hu zahir lehaniya mimekoma, kidei shelo tifasei v'titkalkel, memeilo ubechal Moksamachma Chisron Kiz vasu l'tafala. If the reason you move it isn't only because it's, the reason you don't move it during the week isn't only because it's heavy and impractical, but also because it's fragile or you're worried about ruining it, then we fall into the category of mukta mechama chisron kis. So, we have halacha that these items can't be moved even litzorach gufo or makomo, and certainly not to protect the item, because the klishim lachta le'isser already can't be moved to protect it. So here, where you can't even move it sort of move from a coma, you can't move it in order to protect it or save it. I will tell you that there's a Mishnah Berurah in Siman Reish Ayin Tet that I didn't put on the source sheet, but I saw it footnoted in some of the Svarim that you can have a guy move it. It's sort of gufo or makomo. Moktamachon Chesron Kis. You can have a guy do it.
Not just specifically this closet, that same.
No, just a. So you see your expensive item out and you want it away. Okay? We discussed Klishim Lachto Le'isr last week. Same idea. That because of the loss, right, we discussed when combined with a loss, you can have a guy move it for you, even if it's for its own purpose, nechama itself. Okay. Can it ever apply to a kli shem lachto leheter? Because we said the two criterion were a kli shem lachto leiser, or, and you wouldn't use it for other purposes. So here we have the exceptions. So one is what we just discussed about very heavy things. But the Mishnah Berurah says this very heavy item, you wouldn't move it even during the week because it's expensive. So then it would apply to that item, even though this item performs no iser. What is this china cabinet? What iser does it perform? Nothing. Nonetheless, it would be usher to move it on Shabbos because it's a very expensive and fragile and has a spot that you don't move it from. Okay, so that's one. That's the first exception. First exception is something very heavy. Number two, merchandise. We saw the Ramah said that if you're planning on selling this item, so you don't want to touch it because you might ruin it. Okay, now the Ramah doesn't explicitly say anywhere that this is a kli shem lachto le'iser or a kli shem lachto le'heter. So most of the Acharonim assume he means even it's a kli shem lachto le'heter, even it's something innocuous like clothing. Clothing is no iser. Yet, you wouldn't touch it because you don't want to ruin it because you want to be able to sell it. And even if you change your mind on Shabbos and you say, hey, I want to use this now, Because in your mind, before Shabbos, you said, I'm planning on selling it, I'm not going to use it, it becomes, the Lashon that of Chazal is Migo de Katsai, because since it has been made Mukzah for part of the Shabbos, it's Mukzah for all of Shabbos. Okay. There's a nice loophole in this that sometimes comes up, because people often sell, you're picturing people who have stores, but people often sell a certain item in their home. They'll sell candy wrapped up really nice in gift baskets, and if they finish all their dessert and they're hungry, they'll be willing to eat one of those candies, whether it's Shabbos or a weekday. So therefore, in their mind, right, we discussed the possibility of food, that you'd be willing to partake of it if you need an extra bottle of wine, if you need an extra candy. So that's true, even not food, if the person regularly takes it. Who says this? That's the next source, the Chai Adam. He discusses Mukta Machmat Chisron Kis. The Hainu Shemakta Adam Midaito, it's out of your mind, from the Shtamish Men, and they Shemak Bidalem, Shiloyi Kalkalu, or Shiloyi Lachachlu. Okay, the Mami Yachadam Neschora, they're meant to be sold, the Machmat of Lem could go and call the Varmi Yukarim, Afilo, and the Mami Yukarim. It doesn't matter how expensive it is. You could be selling cheap plastic cups. Kigon Gizei Tzemer, his example is cotton balls. Not in Otsar, Leschora, you put them in the storehouse to be sold. Makpid Aleim. He says, Eino Makpid, Afilo Anan Otsar, Vahomt in the Schora, Mutter, Chutz Midaver, Machol, Mashka, Dalvapish, Anan La Otsar, Mutter. Vafilo Klei Seudo, Kigon Karo, Klei Sechuchiru, Sakinim, even things you would use for your meal. They could be also this way. But he says, Venerally, the Dafka Bechenvani She'en Darkal Hashal Kelim, one who never uses some of his merchandise. Avamisha Darkal Hashal Kelim Chadashim, he's going to take some when he needs some. Einbam Muksa Ava Pishanan Lotzar, even though he put them in the closet or storefront where he sells them from. Share Einu Makpid Alem, he is not careful to not use them, because he says, I sell cups. When I need a cup, I take one. When a customer needs a cup, he buys one. So the cups are just, they're there, and when I need one, I'll take one. And therefore, it's not set aside. If you asked him on Friday, what are the odds that you would use one of these cups tomorrow? And he would go, well, how many cups do I have? If I run out, I'll use one. And therefore, it's not set aside. It's not muktzah chamat chisron kis, even though merchandise normally is. Yes?
There's something I'm wondering. Is there a rule about
klishim lachta
leheter
in terms of machmat chesron kis? Klishim lachta can generally just be handled. Not just for no purpose, but if you have any purpose.
It's like a knife that you're perhaps more like when you will use it, you're very careful with it. But
not to hurt somebody.
No.
You would be willing to cut food with it, which is a heter.
You
would also be willing to cut some kind of package with it.
You'd be very careful when you're cutting the
not to ruin the knife?
Yeah. Like, whenever you handle it, you were careful with it.
But
its main purpose is the heter.
So it doesn't fall in this category. It shouldn't be a problem. Okay. Let's just get through these last few stories, and we'll go through a few examples, and it should become very clear. Okay. The Rambam has the rule that we sort of discussed a few times now about food. The Rambam in Hilchot Shabbat Perek Vav uses the line, She'ein shem ochel shu muktzah b'shabbos klal ela hakol muchanu. Food is always not muktzah, even if you set them aside to be sold. Now, food is always muktzah actually has some exceptions. There are cases in the Gemara where you put out food to dry, like the grapes to become raisins. So, and it takes a while, so you're not planning on having them. So there's a whole discussion there, or items that you put vinegar in and now it's disgusting, but in turn, until it pickles, right? If you make cucumbers and stick them in vinegar, it might be bad for a day or two, but then eventually they turn into pickles and they're delicious. So if you did that, it could be that you're makzeh otam midaito, that you didn't have in mind in them. But in general, the rule is, in most cases, food, ready to eat food, that you weren't dochel otam biyodo, that you didn't do some sort of action that says, I'm not going to use them this Shabbos, so the food is available for use. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach was asked in a tshuva that's printed at the end of the Sefer Halachas of Shabbos, Halachas of Muktzah by Rav Bodner. And he was asked, I know that we said merchandise is muktamach on chesukis. What about, let's read the question, third to last source, Sheila. You bought an item and you're planning on returning it. Is that item now considered muktamach on chesukis? You bought this item, you want to be able to return it. So what happens to an item that you use, you might not be able to return it? It's an obvious question. So Rav Shlomo Zalman answered, Mistaber the Chashev Kohamid the Schora. It seems like you would not want to ruin it. You're going to be very careful with it because you want to be able to return it. Because if you show up with a ripped shirt and the guy says, hey, did you wear this? And that's why it ripped. And you'll have to say yes. And he's going to go, okay, I'm not giving you your money back. So you're going to be very careful to not use this item that you want to return. So that item is considered muktamach on chesron kis. Something I thought of yesterday, and I discussed with the Rav Mordechai, is that there are now stores in the world, Rav Shlomo Zalman didn't know from them, I'm not sure they exist in Israel today, even today, but they do exist at least in America, and you'll tell me if they exist in Australia or South Africa, where there are return policies, no questions asked. Does it exist?
Yeah,
there's a store in America called Costco. And the people, they're known for very large quantities. They're also known for an amazing return policy. And I don't know, it's an ethical question. We could discuss some other time, not in the middle of our Hilchos Shabbos here. But there are people who buy TVs the day before a big sports event. And huge TVs, like, you know, feet, many, many meters, so that large crowds can watch them. They watch the game, and then they return it the next day. Okay, and I'm not getting into the ethical discussion right now. That's for some other time. But a store with a return policy like that would affect the halacha. A store policy with a very easygoing return policy would affect this halacha. I asked him, if you bought an item from that store, is this item still muktzamach mit chesron kis? And Mordechai said to me, no. The halacha changes based on the circumstances. It's not an ironclad rule that items you're planning on returning are muktzamach mit chesron kis. It's only when due to the situation and circumstances. Okay. Another question you very often get asked, and people always are concerned about it, and then sometimes I wonder why. And because I was taught this, but I guess I'm told that there's other shittot. For example, the Chazon Ish, which I didn't put on the Makorot sheet, is machmer on this. But just so you know, Rav Moshe Feinstein is makel on the following question, second to last source. Sha'on kir, you have a clock on the wall. Chayin tmunot ala kir, there's a picture hanging on the wall. Shi'ichel lemakom ba'ofen kavua. How often do you move a picture from the wall? It's usually there. I have pictures on my wall that I'm in my home 4 years. In 4 years, we haven't moved them even an inch. Okay? Now, if a person said, hey, can you hand me that picture so I could see it for a minute, would I move it? Well, it's on a nail, it's not so hard, so yeah, I could take it off and give it to him. But okay, it hasn't moved an inch. So is that considered that it has a spot and never gets moved? Referring to our kind of muktzah, based on it having a specific spot. And Rav Moshe answered, "V'nei shavu n'tumanot shekavu l'makom akir, ena muktzah b'shvil zeh tzliatan sham hu l'noi." You hung them there because it looks nice. You didn't hang them there because you're like, "This is its spot, and never shall it move." Under, you know, if anybody moves it, I'm gonna kill them because why would they ruin my picture that's hanging? It's not like that. And the Magen Avraham discusses paper. Paper we discussed last week, clean, nice paper, or paper in general, is a klishim lachdu leser. What iser does paper perform?
Right.
You write on it. Okay, klishim lachdu leser isn't only what performs the iser, it's what's performed with the iser. For example, we even discussed a phone book, right? So paper, so Magen Avraham says, very nice, clean, white paper that probably, you know, he didn't have it back then, but if you buy a nice white ream of paper that you're going to stick in a printer, or photocopy machine, so you wouldn't just use that paper like scrap paper. So he says the niyar chalak having muktzav nearly davi muktzamach and chesron kis came in the omen the ktiva kapit alive, and based on that Many are consider mukta machmir chisron kis all sorts of documents, important bills, your driver's license, your credit cards. Right? People sometimes use a credit card as an underliner. They very rarely use their working credit cards. They'll use an old credit card, an old license, an old photo ID to underline things. They don't use working ones. But what else is included in this? Stamps. You don't use stamps for any other purpose than to be a stamp. Okay? You don't let your kids play with them. I once thought that a package of stickers had a certain price, and they do make like 1 cent stamps. So maybe I could save some money. But okay, in general, stamps, especially ones that now they cost like 7 shekel to even look at your mail. So that's definitely mutzah machmat chesron kis. Rav Badner in the Sefer said, Rav Moshe Feinstein told him, don't make a list of items that are mukta machmat chesron kis. He made a list of items that are klisha machmat kis, and all the other categories, why not this one? He says it's subjective, it could change. He says right now there could be items that everybody's careful not to use, and in 10 years technology could be so that these items are disposable and people are less careful with them. And the other way, the item can right now be one that everybody's not careful with, but it soon can have so many features and knickknacks and gadgets, it'll be one very careful on. I think an obvious example to this is the concept of a camera. I'm sure if you asked them when they were discussing this, you would never use the cameras were these big, expensive things. You would never use them as some kind of paperweight. Now people have disposable cameras. I have this pocket camera. I can't count the number of times I've put my pocket camera down on something just to hold it down or just it's in the way. Okay? So the nature of these items has changed. But you would never use your ketubah or get in a way you would use a piece of scrap paper. Is that agreed? Okay, so I think a ketubah or get is a great example of mukta machmir chisron kis. You don't handle it on Shabbos. Checks. You don't use checks as, wait 1 minute, you get a phone call, you need a phone message, so you want to write it down. You don't write it on a check. Checks are for when you have to write a check. So, now we have an idea of which items are designated for their own specific use. I think computers would fit into this, though, I don't know, it depends how cheap your computer is, how rich you are, it could be subjective. In Rav Badner's book, he discussed a jeweler has tools. So this jeweler would never use his special jeweler tools for anything else. So he said his are mukta machmir chisron kis. Another jeweler has lots of these tools and he doesn't care and he'll use these tweezers to pick up small items and he'll use them for his jewelry stuff and he'll use them for non-jewelry stuff. So his is not mukta machmir chisron kis and becomes subjective. So each item becomes subjective and it could be subjective based on time and financial considerations. And again, it doesn't have to do with how expensive it is because it could be the cheap cups are designated for merchandise, but your cheap cup is designated for drinking. So there's nothing to do with the price. It has to do with the specific circumstance of is this item designated for this or not. When I discuss pictures on the wall not being a problem, I think digital picture frames would be different. People tend to be careful about those. But again, maybe you're not. That's what I'm saying. It's not ironclad on that. Yes?
Would a computer fit into any other categories?
Such as?
Like an interview that we're
about. Okay, we'll discuss that. Okay, we'll discuss whether you can move a computer if it's on your bed, if you left it on your bed and you want to get there.
Things like that, yeah.
Right. So I think if you left your computer on your bed, I would consider definitely mukta machmir chisron kis. I don't use for my computer for anything but computing. But you need to go to bed. So this is where what you've been taught a lot of times about mukta, even though they haven't applied yet. Right? Last week we said if there's a pen on the table, it's in the way. Not just because it's bothering you, but if it's in the way of where you want to sit and eat, etc. So you can take the pen, like a normal person, and move it. Mukta machmir chisron kis, we don't do that to. Even if you want the spot where it is. So if it's on your bed, you can pull off the sheet with the thing, but it's expensive and dangerous, right? So if you can pull the sheet, you don't want the laptop to fall. So as a practical advice, pile up a lot of pillows, something there to catch it, and you can get it off. This is where those shinois that you were taught your whole life about all of mukta, even though it doesn't apply to all categories of mukta, in fact, to very few of them, that's where it applies. Or if there's a non-Jew there, he can move it for you. Okay, but that's not, that's specifically an item that we don't handle, given that it's a Muktzeh Machmir Chisron Kis. If you decide it's not Muktzeh Machmir Chisron Kis, for example, somebody might use a cheap cell phone for multiple purposes, so then it's not a klisha, so it's only klisha machdal iser, then you can move it, the tzarech mechomo, it's in the way. But the minute it moves into the next category, Muktzeh Machmir Chisron Kis, now we no longer move it, the tzarech mechomo. And that's it. Shkoyach. See you next time. What do they use?
Internet banking.
Oh.